Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, that you stand ready to answer that prayer, and even as Mary did, you know, open that door, Lord, for us to sit back and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. May whatever he says find place in our hearts today. Today, Lord. And for some who've heard the class before, it's today. We have today, Lord. And we want to spend it with you. And then we can remain, Lord, in your love. We can discern. We can let you divide things for us as we remain in your love, as we live by every word that proceeds from your heart, Lord, from your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's true with you too, Lord. May we remain in your love and just let it be a today experience for us, Lord. Not running ahead, not lagging behind, but being with you, Jesus, just for today. And trusting your timing, trusting you have an order for things and nothing escapes you. Lord, I really am praying that now for Sinead. You put that on my heart, that she's got 3 months to prepare for those 2 years. And Lord, her life is in your hands, and the timing, Lord, is in your hands. And these 3 months are unto. Tomorrow is unto something. It's unto the next day and unto the next day. But today, we have today, Lord. And so may our hearts today just be open to the generous supply of your Spirit. We ask for that in Jesus' name, and to the satisfaction of your heart and his, and the Holy Spirit's. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you, Jesus. Well, just the spirit of that heart prayer, you know, I do believe the Lord, he's so not interested in my perception is of teaching us, but of reaching our hearts and helping us. And so there's just some simple things that I think we can maybe receive that can be of help in some areas, like we talked about last week, of opening to him and being with him where he's at and receiving through oneness him in ways that have been blocked, or the foundation has been unstable, so then everything kind of caves at a certain point when there's lots of pressure, or there's been a mixture where the enemy or our carnal mind has been able to get in and break that communion and flow of his life. And, you know, these things really aren't matters of ministry or how good we're doing or what we're able to understand or share, but really matters of being his and being with him where he is at, and being a home where he can find rest, and him being our home where we find rest. And so it's kind of in that heart, just like the spirit of Sharon's prayer, that we want to approach some of these scriptures. And so I'm going to just share from a few places in the Word of God, but I believe within each of the stories or each of the verses that we look at, the Holy Spirit may, in each one of us, and maybe giving each one of us a certain view or part of his heart that will help one another when we have our discussion afterwards to enter in more fully, to receive a little deeper what he wants to impart into us by his Spirit after we look at these verses. So just, you know, maybe jot down things if the Spirit gives you a couple points that might bless someone that we can pray together over or fellowship in. I really would encourage you to do that, because I really believe in these particular gatherings for this subject matter that there's going to be edification and strength and encouragement confirmation through the body. So let me just submit some of these verses to us as we seek his heart together. And let's go first to Acts chapter 9. And I did email everybody some of the material from the Spirit Realm Reality and the Sense Realm Reality course in the very first chapter. And within that outline that was emailed to you, there's some basic things about sense realm, spirit realm, and understanding how this fallen man functions as compared to living by the Lord. And I don't really want to go into that material that was emailed to you, because I think it can at this moment just seem like a lot of information if we just read through it and try to understand it. So rather than doing that, I thought we would look at some scriptures and just gain a little bit of fuel in the Word of God. And then maybe when we go and take a look at the notes that were emailed, the Spirit may have some fresh angles to pour into those and maybe bring some new light from his heart. So Acts chapter 9, and beginning in the first verse, I'll just start to read. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he would have permission to bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone all around him a light straight from heaven. And Saul fell to the earth, and he heard a voice that said unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And Saul, trembling with astonishment, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with Saul stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing nothing. So Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So Saul was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, who said to Saul that the Lord had visited him in a vision and said, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand." Anyway, so we'll stop there in that first flow. And let's go to verse 18. Let's go to verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight and arose and was baptized." So I would just like to emphasize a few points within those verses that may be of value to our search today. First, and this is in chapter 9, as we have just read, that Saul was, as we all know, a Pharisee. He was doing service unto God in his own mind and heart, and he was zealous in that, committed, totally given, and he was, you know, doing and serving the Lord according to what he understood in his understandings, what he saw as good in his own eyes, what he comprehended to be the will of God in his own comprehensions. And so it does say that as he journeyed, and you'll see this in verse 3, and as he journeyed. So he's, you know, in that sense, he's going his way. He's journeying forward in this manner. And we kind of saw a little bit of that in Martha, you know, last week when we looked at her kind of going her way and moving in what she saw to be good and serving the Lord in what she understood to be his will. There was that same just going forward in our own strength with our own understanding based on how we see things or don't see things. That we saw that so clear with Martha, and yet here with Saul, it's similar principles, just a person doing what they see as the Lord's will, but it's coming from their own view, and it's coming from their own understanding. It's not really coming from a knowing of the Lord and a seeing out from his heart and from his view. And so God comes to this Saul in the form of light. And he doesn't come to him in a different form. And this is, I felt there could be something that would have maybe helped or trigger that God came to Saul as light. He appeared to him as light. And we see that in verse 3, suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. Now in chapter 20, I believe it's chapter 26, Paul is testifying before King Agrippa, and he is recounting his conversion story to King Agrippa. And in this version of his sharing his rendition of his conversion, Saul shares with King Agrippa, and you see this in verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, a light that was above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them who journeyed with me. And so here we see that Paul is remembering and recounting his experience when God first apprehended him on the road to Damascus. And whereas verse 9, it just basically says, and a light from heaven shone round about him. That's chapter 9 in Acts. Here in chapter 26 of Acts, Paul himself says it was a light from heaven, but it was a light that was above the brightness of the sun, shining around him, a light from heaven that was above the brightness of the sun. And so this light knocks Saul right off his horse, a light that is brighter than the light of the sun, a light that's shining from heaven, shining from a place way, way, way above Saul of Tarsus's view. A light that's coming from a vantage point that is risen and set above and as high as the heavens are above the earth. This light shines brighter than the sun itself. This light which is God. And it manifests to this man who in his own view, in his own eyes, is right with God, is doing God's will, is seeing clearly. And it's the light that is from above, the light that is God, the light that is spirit, the light that is above our views. That light, that God knocks this man who is given to God with, you know, in all he knows to be at this point, it knocks him off his horse. It knocks him to the earth. It knocks him to a place where he goes blind, or he's awakened to the reality that he is blind, and it manifests where his eyes no longer can see and they grow scales, and for 3 days he's made very low, eating nothing, drinking nothing, but realizing that I thought I saw, I thought I knew, I thought I understood, I thought I was in tune, I thought I was just as I needed to be. And then God, who is light, came as light, a light from heaven, a light brighter than the sun. And that light showed me that I was blind, and that in my blindness and in my view, in my understanding, I was actually persecuting the Lord instead of doing him service in the contrast, put him into a place of weakness, of lowliness, into a place of putting away his view. If you will, my view is crucified with Christ, my eyes are buried, my understandings are put away, and I need the light which is God. I need his eyes. I need his view. I need the view that is above the earth, the view that is above my view, the eyes that are in the head and not in the body. If we are the church, the body of Jesus Christ, then Jesus is the head of his church, the head of his body, and the eyes, and it says this in Proverbs, the eyes are in the head. You know, every little finger doesn't have an eyeball in it, and every little elbow and knee cap has its little own set of eyes, but in a body, the eyes are in the head, and Jesus, who is risen and exalted and seated at the right hand of majesty on high, and we are in him there, Ephesians tells us. But the eyes that see, they're in Jesus, they're in our head. And until we have his view and he becomes our light, therefore, we are blind. And yet, we see with Saul, and we'll continue to look at the fact that it takes the Lord's mercy, it takes the Lord's loving kindness, it takes the Lord's nail-scarred hand extended towards us to, at times, knock us off our donkey, knock us off our horse, and awaken us in tender love, in gentle love, even though it doesn't feel gentle or compassionate. But what a gift to Saul of Tarsus that Jesus Christ himself would appear as light, and in his appearing, open him up to God in a way that he was never opened before. Break him wide open to that which is true light in life. Take him into a place where he could see, not I, but Christ needs to be my eyes. Not I, but Christ needs to be the way I understand. I can't get back on my horse, pick up my glasses, and start going my own way again. I can't kick against the pricks. I can't push past what the Spirit of God is trying to deal with my heart on. I want to be good ground, open to the light that I have not yet known, and that I want to fill me, you know. And so I think that with Saul, who becomes Paul, we find a beautiful beginning, and it's a beginning that I believe every conversion and every Christian and everyone who begins to know the Lord as their life experiences in their own personal way, but by the Lord, with the very same Jesus, the same light, the same risen Christ who wants to be our light and our eyes. He comes to us and he helps us divide light from darkness. And part of that blessed gift of his love is to first convince us that we cannot see apart from his view and his light, he who is our life and is light, that we don't see, and that we need the Spirit. We need that which is from above. We need the Lord. And I think that is kind of spelled out a little bit here when you get down to verse 17, and this is in chapter 9's account of Saul's conversion, chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee in the way as thou came. He sent me that you might, what? That you might receive your sight. He's saying, God gave someone a dream, supernaturally told me, go, there's a man, he's right in this location, go to him, and, you know, this is what you're going to do. He sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's this connection that for Saul of Tarsus, or Paul now, to receive sight, knowing that he is blind in himself in a way he never knew before, through a very deep experience he just went through. a very humbling experience, an experience that broke him open to the light that he did not know, the light that does not come from him, but only from the Lord. And Ananias said, the Lord wants to give you light. He wants you to have sight. But then he said, but you're going to be filled. For that sight to really come, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you need to let the Spirit show you God, bring you into the light, give you sight. In other words, the natural man, or us in our own ability to see with our own senses, we can't see, we can't know on our own, separate from the Spirit of God, separate from the light of Christ who is our life. We can't even understand, we can't even know. So God sends Ananias to blind Saul of Tarsus and said, you're going to see. And you're going to see, and our first step for you seeing is that you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, who's going to bring you into true light, the light which is from above, the light which is Jesus, which is God. And verse 18 says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales. He received his sight, and he rose up and was baptized. So the Lord was saying, you're blind in your own understanding. Saul, you want to serve the Lord, you want to search the scriptures and understand what they say, which Saul did, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You want to know what the Word of God says, you want to serve God, but until the Spirit of God bring you into the light that is above, in the spirit realm, where God, who is light, is, until you're full of the Spirit, you're not going to have God's eyes to see. And so there's this division here of man trying to see in his own strength and God having to give us of his Spirit so that we can see through God's eyes and have God's light. Christ is life. Christ is our life. The Lamb is our light within us. And it begins to divide what is us trying to see for God in our own understanding and strength, and God giving us the Holy Spirit and putting Jesus in us, so that we can see through God's eyes by God's Spirit. One is us trying to do our best for God, but we're still blind. The other is God putting his Spirit in us and giving us Jesus as our life, so we can have a new way of understanding through Christ, by the Spirit, through the light, which is the life of Jesus, and his eyes as our head. And so that was the first example in scriptures, but I do want to just point out one more thing. In the Acts chapter 26 verses. And that is the voice that Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, heard when God knocked him off his horse. And we'll look at verse 14 here in chapter 26 of Acts. And Paul is saying this to King Agrippa here. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this is the verse in particular that I think we might want to focus on. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And so just that first portion of verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And so, again, we see that there's this dividing between darkness and light, and even furthermore from the power of Satan unto God. And we know, and some of the things that will be in the printout or the handout that I emailed to you is showing the darkness of this world and of the senses and the light that comes from above. We're just laying seeds and groundwork right now. But there is that darkness that is our view, and what our senses tell us is light. And that the enemy can move upon that darkness and try to bind us up and bring us into captivity through us, you know, being stuck in our view and that because of Jesus dying and because of us being now joined to him in resurrection oneness, where we are the body of him who is risen far above all this, that he becomes our light and he becomes our liberty, and we have a new view, we have a new life, and we have a new set of eyes. Jesus, our head, who gives us his view and fills us with his light. And so, you know, those are just some things to consider. Like I said, we're not trying to understand everything. We're not trying to figure things out right now. And there's maybe just one little point here that the Spirit of God is really saying, this is for you. Then that's really the only point you need to be thinking about or opening your heart to. There, one point might be for one person. Another point might have a completely different area that the Holy Spirit is landing on. So just be where the Lord has you. And that's all you need to be thinking about and opening unto. The Holy Spirit knows just where each one of us is at as far as our need and our communion with Jesus. So be at peace with that. Just be at peace with that. Another example that I just quickly want to go into is John chapter 11. Like I said, I'm throwing out a lot of verses. And I do, just again, I just want to say, I don't believe every little scripture reference I'm going to here is for everybody. I think one person might gain something of the Lord's heart from one area, whereas another may gain something from an entirely different set of scriptures. So just be where the Lord has you. Okay, so we're back in John 11, and this is where we were at last week, and it was our discussion on Martha. And it's a little, another angle of Martha, it's another view into her. But it's in regards to verse 39, John chapter 11 and verse 39. And in this view, we just see that Martha is not, she's not understanding what the Lord is doing, and she's not comprehending why, you know, he is allowing Lazarus to be dead and remain in the grave and stink for so long. In her mind, with her eyes, in her view, through her comprehension, the whole thing is a disaster and a failure and completely out of control, and God has totally missed it on this one, and she feels the need to instruct him and guide him and kind of clue him in to the reality of how messy this has become. And hopefully, if Jesus will listen to Martha, Jesus will get a little sense in him and make things a little better. You know, that's kind of the way we feel when we live through our own view and understand things through our own comprehension. And so we find Martha at this point in verse 39 saying to Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Now, Jesus answers and says, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So there was something at work in this situation, at work in Lazarus, something at work in the people who will read about this story, something at work in those of that generation who gathered at that grave, something at work in the heart of God. There was something so much far above the apparent chaotic circumstance in the earth, so much deeper than the stinkiness of Lazarus's flesh, so much greater than whatever felt out of control in that moment, that God knew, the Son of God knew, and his Father knew, and they as one were together in this beautiful thing that God was going to make manifest. And God wanted to gather Martha into that incredible thing that would glorify him. So much so that he wanted it to be where Martha would see. She could see the glory of God. He's saying, would you believe, Martha? Would you leave your view of this situation? And would you be with me where I am at in my view of this situation? And I think you can see that in the word believe. If you look at it in a whole different light, believe. If you in your being, Martha, would leave your view, if you would leave your eyes, if you would leave your sense realm, if you would leave your natural man's comprehension, if you would leave the earth understanding, if you would leave all that you think you understand and see in this situation, and be with me be where I am at. Be at rest, in my view. Be at rest even when you don't see, knowing that I do see, because I am the head and you are joined as the body. If you would be with me and leave you, if you would be one with me and leave you, if you would believe, if you would trust in my view and leave yours, if you would believe, you would see through my eyes, through oneness with Jesus, who is spirit and life, you would see the glory of God. But you have to believe. You have to leave and be. Leave you and be him. Leave your eyes and let his be in you. Leave your realm and be with him in his realm. You have to believe, Martha. Because if you don't, you will not see the glory of God. You will not be with me where I am at. You will not take into you all that I want to impart through oneness of the glory and life and communion of God that could be gleaned from this wonderful opportunity. Now, Mary had gotten influenced by Martha's unbelief. And Geraldine beautifully shared that last week when we had our discussion, and it was really precious to my heart, and God used it in my life. And so we see Mary kind of accusing Jesus up in the earlier portion of this chapter, chapter 11 in John. I mean, we see Mary breaking Jesus' heart. Jesus, if you had been here, everything would have been okay. I mean, that spirit of unbelief, that leaven had leavened Mary that was coming out of Martha, it had got her heart, and Jesus starts crying. I mean, he's groaning, he's crying. You know, he thought Mary, who had burst into a room and, you know, kissed and washed his feet with her tears and her hair, you know, just separating herself unto him no matter what. No, all of a sudden she's not with him. She's with Martha's unbelief. She's with the situation in the earth. She's with the people who see things from a point of view that is what we think should happen, how you look in our eyes, what we thought was God. You know, she's joining with those who are not with Jesus. And it breaks his heart. But the Lord loves Martha. And the Lord loves Mary. And the Lord's love never fails. And the Lord's love is never lessened when we fail him. And when we go by our eyes. When we see things from our view. And when we break his heart. He still loves us the same. It never changes. He never changes in his love for Martha. And he never changes in his love for Mary. And the proof of that is in chapter 12, where Mary, just 5 days later or something, 5 days or so after she broke Jesus' heart, Jesus comes back to Bethany. He didn't have to come back to Bethany. He came back to Bethany. And Mary says, I gleaned something from that situation, that stinky thing where Martha was looking through her eyes, and then I was looking through my eyes, and then you were all alone, and I gleaned that you just want me to be with you where you are at, and if I leave me to be with you, Jesus, I will see with your eyes, and there will be glory. It will be your bride filled with your light. You will have one that you can fill with your view. You'll have someone you can fill with how you see the Father. You can fill me with the light that is Jesus in me. The glory of God in your face, Father, Son, and Spirit, will tabernacle in this broken old earth vessel that failed you. Your love never fails. And so she runs to him when he comes to dinner 5 days later after Lazarus' situation, comes to Bethany, sits at the table there with Lazarus, and she just pours that spikenard, breaks it open. But really, what is she saying? She's saying, Jesus, I want your eyes. Jesus, I want your view. Jesus, I don't want to have my view. I don't want to have my way. I don't want to be the one who knows everything and sees everything and understands everything in my own strength and zeal for you. Even like Saul had that. I just want to be broken and open to what you see. Jesus, I just want to be broken and open to what's in your heart. Jesus, I just want to be broken and open to who you really are. How you see things will glorify your Father. I want to be broken and open to your view of this situation, Jesus. I know I broke your heart in chapter 11 because I was so full of my eyes and my understandings and my view. But that was yesterday, Lord. That was yesterday. And you're the one who came to Bethany today. You're the one who didn't hold chapter 11 against me, but opened a door into chapter 12. A new beginning. You opened that new beginning, not me. And I walk through that new beginning. I walk through that door that you opened. And I walk through it broken. And I walk through it poured open. And I say, Jesus, I am not going to put my view in front of you. I am not going to push my way. I'm not going to tell you my understanding of this thing. I am going to say, if you're going to go to the cross and die, then you will be glorified. You know why you're going to die. You know why you're going to let these people take you and whip you and curse you. You know why. And you know, I trust you. I am with you. I leave me and I be with you. I empty me and I be with you. Fill me with your view. Give me your heart in this. Let me be your body and you be the head. Know that you are not alone today, Jesus. Know that you are not alone. Not because I'm so good and I understand you so well and I'm so committed in my own strength. No, Jesus, I'm broken. I'm emptied of me. I don't have eyes to see. I don't have understandings to give you. I don't have deep spiritual insight into what's going on. All I have is my openness for you to be my life and my light and my head, to be my eyes and my view and my portion. Jesus, you're my everything. Fill me. I'm the empty and you're the full. Fill me. Fill me, Jesus. Oh, oh, how that ministers to him, that he could have a body that he can fill, eyes that he can enlighten, hearts that he can give his spirit and nature into. You know, he's not looking for us to be something in ourselves separate from him. He's not looking for the natural man to gain the things of God so we can be strong apart from him. Oh, he's looking for the blind. He's looking for the weak. He's looking for those who don't see and don't know, so he can be the light and the life within us. That's the heart of the bride. That's the heart of the groom. And something in our lives, whether it be God showing us how we thought it should be this way, but really his heart was over here. We saw it this way, but his view was so different. Instead of justifying, like Martha could have done, and saying, oh Lord, I was only trying to serve you. Oh Lord, but I didn't understand, and my heart was doing the... Lord, but I didn't know. You never clued me in. How could I? You know, instead of justifying our blindness and justifying our pride and justifying our separation from him unto our own views, we could just be like Mary and break and just say, you know, I'm a mess. I am so proud. I'm so full of my own understanding and view. But Lord, I come now in a brokenness and in a love that just says, give me your view, Jesus. Be my light, Jesus. Be my life, Jesus. I am just a natural man in the earth with my five senses, and they're just darkness. They're just darkness. But Jesus, you are light, and you are from above, and your light is from heaven, and your light is brighter than the earth's sun. You are the Son of God, the Prince of Life. And you can bring me into your glorious light and translate me out of this darkness that is me. Translate me out of this darkness that is my view and my understanding. Translate me out from me and into you, Jesus. Take me out of me and take me into you. That's what the cross did. That's what the cross did. We are crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, now Jesus lives in us. And we can believe in him because we have left ourselves to be one with Jesus in life, in union, in oneness. Believe, believe, believe that there is a view that is higher than our view. Believe that there is a place that is higher than our place in this earth. Believe that there is an understanding that is higher than even our spiritual understandings. Believe that God gave us of his spirit so that he might fill us with his light and give us true sight. It's the work of the Lord to immediately Saul had sight. We can't make ourselves see. What blind man can ever open his own eyes? And that takes us to John chapter 9, which is just two chapters back. Caitlin had shared some with me from this chapter that was just of great blessing to my heart. Although I cannot remember all the Lord showed her, there was a couple verses here that ministered to me in the spirit in which we are sharing this today. So let's go to chapter 9 of John and just look at verse 39 down through verse 41. John chapter 9 and verse 39 through 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." So we see this light that has come, and we read of this light in chapter 9, but in the beginning verses. Verse 5 of chapter 9. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus, the person, he is the light. He is the only one who is light. He is the only one who does see, for he is the light. And only through him can we see. Apart from Jesus, we are blind. Apart from Jesus, everyone is blind. Everyone. And yet the Lord comes, and he comes to give us life, to give us light, to be our eyes, and to open us to see through union that we've been made one with him, and now his view is our view. And that is some groundwork for the notes that were emailed to us in these first few lessons of the sense realm, spirit realm. We are in the sense realm. We are in our own lives. We are in our five senses, seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, you know, all perceiving, all these things that we understand life by. The things that we were, as a natural man, given in our five senses, that's the only way we, in ourselves, can understand anything. Yet, when we become one with Jesus, when we are born again, and Jesus becomes our life, and our spirit is made new, then the Lord in us, Jesus in us, becomes a new way of understanding, a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing. It's through him, by the Spirit, that we are able now to comprehend things that cannot be understood in our old way before we had Jesus in us, before we were in Jesus, before we were born again. So that's just a little bit right there that may help us just begin in our hearts, not in our heads. Because our heads can be really, really confused right now. But Jesus is looking at the heart. And the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ dwells in our hearts. And it's from there that he wants to begin to shine his light. And it's from there that he wants to begin to divide out these things within us. And we're just at the first step, so it's okay to say, "Wow, I don't fully comprehend where this is going," or how, you know, but you're never going to comprehend the whole journey just on the first step. But if you're faithful to take that first step with Jesus, then each step of the way he gives the light that helps us take the next step to know him and be with him in that, until he brings that full day, that full noonday sun. The path of the righteous is light like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter, brighter till the full day, brighter till the full day. We just want to be with Jesus. We just want to be with Jesus and leave our way of seeing things. Be with Jesus and leave those natural man ways behind, crucified with Christ, buried and put away. Be with Jesus and leave the old ways of understanding things. Be, just be, and isn't it beautiful? And we'll close with this bit here. Isn't it beautiful that being isn't a work? You know, Martha was very, very encumbered with doing all kinds of things, and much of Martha's heavy laden burden, some work, had to do with her trying to figure things out, make things happen the way God should do it, do the spiritual service, make sure everything was godly and in order, figure everything out in her own mind, understand everything in her own sight, make everything happen as it's supposed to happen in the Lord. I mean, she was heavy laden with and worried about many things. Martha, Martha, thou art burdened with many things. But Mary hath chosen the part that cannot be taken from her. And Mary wasn't doing anything. She was being with Jesus in a position of resting in oneness. She was just saying, you are the head and I am the body. I'm just being. I'm just abiding. I'm just with you, and you will be in me. Whatever needs to happen, whatever I need to know, whatever eyes I need to see, you will be that in me by your life, Jesus. I don't have to do that for you in my own busyness, but I can remain at your feet, abiding as your body, receiving of your fullness and that grace for grace, and not have to break my rest to separate from you and do it in my own strength. Believe. So the Lord just wants to comfort our hearts, that He is for us, that we are one with Him, that His love never fails and never changes, and that He wants to open our hearts to the reality that we can leave those old ways because we have already left them when we were born again and been made one with Jesus. But in our daily walk and manners, we can be with Jesus in a new place of rest and oneness. We can leave those old Martha ways behind. And we can let the Holy Spirit begin to give us sight, to let the Lord be our light in our life in these areas that He's wanting to bring us, each one in our own ways, into. And so I will just pray now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you have already made us one. That this is a finished work. It's not something that's becoming true or being made real as we enter in and embrace it. But it is true and it is real. In your heart, it never fades. It never changes. You died so that we could be one with you. And Jesus, we are in you. And you are in us. And that is settled and that is stable. Lord, we just want to enter into living with you in that way and from that place, and getting free from ourselves and the enemy and the darkness of this existence that is down here in the old, when you have made all things new in us and in yourself. So Father, we just ask that your Spirit would continue to speak to our hearts, minister by the light and life of God, that we could understand through you, Jesus, that which we could never understand separate from you in our own way. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Just minister to them by your Spirit. We are your workmanship, the people of your pasture, Lord. We are yours. We love you, and we thank you for this time. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was thinking a lot all while you were sharing, Kelly, about the Pharisee in Luke, I think it's 14 or 18, and the tax collector. Well, the tax collector thought he knew everything. And I mean, he knew a lot. Sorry, the Pharisee did. He knew a lot. He knew the scriptures, and he tithed, and he fasted, and he was a good man, radical. But his heart wasn't humble before the Lord. And the tax collector, who's, you know, the work they did wasn't nice, and apparently they were quite incorrect and would steal from people rather than just collect the honest taxes. But his heart was just, oh, be merciful to me, Lord, and beat on his chest, and I just think, then I was thinking about all the people like Teos and Sparks and Randy and just people who've been searching the scriptures. And Teos and Sparks says, you know, I've read this and this is my 200th time reading this verse and it's opened to me in a new way. And I go, 200 times if I read it twice. And he just couldn't get enough of reading about the Lord and just being before the Lord and saying, okay, I think I know what it means, but I lay all that down. Let me see Jesus. I think of Paul near the end of his life, that I may see Jesus, that may, I mean, he'd seen so much, but their hearts were humble. They were like Mary, sort of, you are everything, Lord. Anything I know is just nothing. I don't see like you do. And it's just the heart condition of just, I was thinking then about all of us sitting around a table and some stranger comes in and says, what's salvation? And we all dissect it down to bits. And we all have a little, well, no, it's this and it's this and it's this. And yeah, we all know what salvation means. And just somebody coming in who's just received the Lord saying, salvation. Oh, that's the beautiful Jesus who loves us. The heart is open to him. And the rest of us are all, we've got our doctrines down. And we're trying to explain it. Rather than saying, wait till I tell you about him. And it just really taught me to just be, throw away what I know, throw it all aside and go, Lord, you've shown me a little bit about yourself, but you're so much bigger. And just the eyes are in the head. You're the one who sees everything perfectly. And just open my eyes to see more of you. And it really just, to have a humble heart like Mary and to know he loves us, even if we do get prideful, he'll still love us. So just, I don't know, I can't even add to anything you said, Kelly. It's just wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. You know, this was just wonderful, all of it. You know, there was so much that spoke to my heart, but, you know, in Acts chapter 26, that verse 13 about the light, how Paul was telling Agrippa the light above the brightness of the sun. But he, you know, that's what struck him down. You know, knocked him to the earth and then blinded him so that he couldn't see from his view anymore. And I think the Lord, that's, you know, he wants to do that with all of us. And yet I see his incredible, you know, oh, for example, you know, Mary or Martha, you know, she tells him Lazarus is going to stink and she's upset. And Jesus, he says, if you would believe, you know, that word believe really, that spoke to me differently than it ever has before. Like the Lord's just saying, if you would just believe, if you would just truly believe, you know, different than you always believed before, like really believe in me and in my heart and, you know, then that light, you're going to see the light from my view. You know, it's not going to be how you see it. Like, you know, our senses that just are just earthy, but how he wants to be the brightness that overpowers every one of our senses. And the other thing that really, really hit me here was how, you know, then Mary got influenced and, you know, broke Jesus' heart and she got influenced by Martha and the whole mess there. But then 5 days later, and Kelly was sharing how he comes to Bethany. But here's Jesus, 5 days after that whole thing, his heart being broken, but he raises Lazarus. People don't get it. And here he comes to their house again. He comes because he's just pure love, and he just wants them to believe, and he wants to be with his friends and wants his friends to know him. And then Mary, you know, she sees, then she does see. And I just, you know, he just keeps, like Kelly said, over and over and over again. He comes to our Bethany. He comes. And just, there aren't words. You know, there's just not words. But I just am so grateful for the Lord and how he is. And how, he doesn't give up on us. And loves us with such an incredible love. We just believe and we'll see. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Father, we just love you. We're just overcome by your love for us. Just thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. How much you love us. How much you want us not to see things, but to see your Son. The brightness, the glory, just that we would be blind to our old ways of thinking about you. And are always seeing life as it is from our perspective. Lord, just want to see your Son. Father, just let us see Jesus. Thank you for opening our hearts. Thank you for speaking, Holy Spirit. Thank you for just brooding over us that we would hear, that we would have merry hearts, just to have eyes and hearts to look at our Jesus, to hear, to just leave ourselves and be with him. Not in any sort of super spiritual way, but Lord, day by day, moment by moment, just tonight, tomorrow, forevermore, Lord, just, Lord Jesus, we're with you. We say it now. We just ask you to continue to draw us deeper into you. We're not able, Lord. We're weak and we're helpless. But by your life, we can do it. So we just want to be with you, Jesus, at every moment of every day. So just hear our prayer and answer our heart's cry.